Welcome to The Ether. Today is Saturday, April 9th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Follow Orbital Command on Twitter using the link in the show notes to receive regular threads on Terra protocols and yield strategies, news, resources, and Twitter space discussions. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, Interactive Punk with Rebel DeFi and Tau. Let's take a listen.
Yo.
Hey, dude, how are you?
I'm all right. Is there a delay on the line? I'm not sure if my internet is all that great.
No, you're fine.
Cool.
I'm not noticing it anyway.
Twitter is going crazy right now. Did you?
Yeah.
I started following a thread that, you know, Church Key started about liquidation.
Okay.
And there's just it was a good kind of quiz.
Okay.
Because I think he got liquidated yesterday. And he said he put four different options. He went, right, if you get liquidated with these amounts, what's the answer?
And okay.
It was actually quite confusing to work it out. So I thought I was totally right. So I went, that's the answer. And then I looked at it again and thought, nah, that's wrong. And I thought, do I delete the tweet or do I just, I thought, no, I'll just leave it. Because it's like,
you would know more because I have no idea. I don't fuck around with leverage like that, right?
Right. Listen, man, because it turns out that basically, and I did not know this, that when you get liquidated, half of your collateral value is used to pay down the loan. Now, admittedly, like if that happens, you've probably borrowed quite a lot of that collateral anyway. So you're maybe not losing like your own Luna, but I mean, basically the way I look at it is like anything I've got in collateral, I kind of see that as mine. And I see.
So one of the things I heard about or that I came across was interesting is people were using those liquidation points as stop losses.
Mm.
You understand what I mean? Like, so you'll take out a loan, let's say on Anchor, right? And then you immediately go buy Luna again with your UST and then you just leave it. And then you can loop it as many times as you want to loop it. But essentially, that's your stop loss. That's how you treat that.
Yes. But I mean, the way I look at that is I don't think a lot of people necessarily understand that in that if I've bought a big bag, if I've bought 1,000 Luna at $5, right?
Yeah.
I can now enter into that sort of thing and just go, all right, I'm just going to loop it up until I get liquidated. It doesn't matter.
Right.
And that's fine if you're already in a shitload of profit. But I think people are coming in now, buying Luna now, and then just looping up like crazy. And then thinking that that's fine. It's totally not fine.
Right.
Because
no.
Like if you get, you basically lose money.
Exactly.
It is. I mean, I've been doing this for what, coming in on a year, and I'm still confused by it. So, okay, maybe that just.
Hey, Frank. come on up if you want to have a chat. Like, no, this is mostly a chat thing than a presentation thing.
It's a chat thing, but it's a punk thing. Frank's it's a punk. Yeah.
It's interactive punk.
Listen, you know? I love it when there's like loads of punks on this. I'm going to take a screenshot. We're all here.
We're going to get there.
Yeah, man.
So what have you been up to this week? What's the punk DAO been doing? Or Galactic DAO?
Yeah, man. The Nebula things have been decided.
So right.
A load more. Is your mic touching parts of your beard something? I don't know. Have you got a beard?
I do have a beard.
Yeah.
I cut it off. I cut it back like quite a bit, though.
So we've just been trying to decide what nebulas are kind of allowed to do. Because the nebulas then have to put a proposal back to the DAO and say, this is the sort of powers we want. Do you agree we should have these powers?
Right.
In my mind, we've got to be really exact with what we want to do so that we can, so that we don't, so that the boundaries are completely clear and then we can either do stuff or we can't do stuff. I think if it's
right.
ambiguous about whether, do we have that power or do we not have that power, that I don't think that's good for the nebulas or the greater DAO.
Right.
Sorry.
Well, I want to know more is like how are you establishing it, the council itself? Everybody's you're all just meeting each other now in a new capacity, right? So for example, the financial nebula, how's that working out? Like, people are meshing along fine?
Yeah. Well, to be honest, there's the nebula, which is anyone in the DAO who wants to be in the finance nebula. And then there's the finance counselors. And I think the only difference really is that the finance counselors are expected to like write up proposals and get shit done.
Excuse
my language.
Right.
So that makes sense.
That's
so
kind
far.
Of like the role that you all signed up for as counselors too, right?
Yeah. So I mean, I've got the time now, so I'm quite happy to get involved.
Is that it? Your notice period is over?
Well, I'm on school holidays now, so technically I'm still employed. Oh, and the weird thing is actually I do have some stuff to do before I finish. I mean, I could leave it and just not do it and then they'll curse my name. Like, oh, that guy's left and he left us in the shit. So I've just got, I got a few things I want to do just to sort of close it off nicely. But no, I don't have to go back and teach any more classes or anything. But I mean, if I was still in that job, I would be on holiday now anyway. So it doesn't really feel like I'm finished. I think it will do a week on Monday when I would technically go back to work, and I won't be going back to work. The Galactic House is, I think it's going to hopefully maybe take some of the pressure and workload off the ambassadors and the team.
Ambassadors, yeah, right.
So yeah, I mean, it's exciting times.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. More hands make for less work, the usual,
right? Yeah, and it's very collaborative so far, and it should be I think it's really exciting. Like no one really knows what a DAO, how DAOs work, because they're new. So I like the sort of democracy that there seems to be.
Right. It's for sure. I think the Galactic DAO is on a good track now. We're making good progress, and I'm looking forward to seeing. I think this will lead to a higher tempo in the function of the DAO. Does that make sense? Like shit should get started. Shit should start getting done quickly.
I hope so, because I look at Apollo DAO as an interesting model of how DAOs can work.
Right.
Had we been a bit quicker off the mark and getting stuff sorted, what the Galactic DAO could have done is we could have locked, because we've now got 5,000 Luna just sitting in a wallet.
Right.
Had we been getting on this a bit quicker, we could have had a 2,000 Luna, Luna B, Luna LP, and locked it in Astroport for a year and got a ton of Astro tokens for that. But because like Apollo DAO has been making those decisions, so they got in on Apollo with loads. They got in on, I think they've done some Kinetic stuff. So there's all these lock drops. I think they did Mars. All these lock drops, which I think are brilliant for the Galactic DAO, because we don't want to be too speculative in the things, in my mind, we don't want to be too speculative in how we're investing this money. So if we lock up a Luna B Luna LP for a year, great. Like we shouldn't be messing with it. Right. We'll just take that yield, and especially if we can get lock drop like tokens on top. I mean, I don't know what that would have been in Astro tokens, but it would have been nice.
On that note, I was actually thinking we should, now that Kinetic money is on the horizon too, right? So the no-brain strategy for the DAO right now with UST would be like, we put our UST into Kinetic money, like a good chunk of it, right? And then we take out loans against that UST in more UST, of course, but then the new loan UST, we put it into things like Pylon money and get exposure to these up and coming protocols a whole lot more. It's essentially the same strategy that's been done with lock drops, right? Except you were going through Pylon. And we have like so many on the horizon, like Rango Exchange is putting in a vote. And so their pools are going to be starting in a month and a bit. Then there's discussions going on for Void Protocol.
Void
and all those ones.
I do love right. a bit of Void.
Right. So that's what I'm saying, right? And then like shit like this, right? It builds us the reputation, and then this is the reputation that gets us more airdrops to the punks specifically,
100%.
Right?
100%.
So
and interestingly, you were talking about having a guest on today who's not with us, but another thing Apollo DAO did is they invested. They were like seed round investors in the Yield Foundry DAO.
That's right.
That could have been punks as well. The thing is, there's no sort of regret over this, because there's going to be tons more things on the horizon. So,
right. Yeah. You know, the thing is, like, this is a very unique thing to the Luna ecosystem, I'm noticing, is the ability to enter into new and upcoming projects without taking on the risk of the new and upcoming project, right? All you're giving up is a little bit of future yield, and that's it. But then you end up having like front row seat at the first showing of a new project, right? So this is a very unique thing, and I think like we as a Galactic DAO can totally make use of it for sure.
Yeah, and just because of the floor price doubling, say. Over the last few months, like the amount of royalties that are coming in is brilliant. So we've got like an income stream. We've got multiple income streams. We've got the validator income stream, we've got a royalty income stream, we've got investment income stream.
Yeah.
So it's promising.
And then and that's the thing too, right? So like even let's use the example of Void, right? So if Void becomes our first foray into this, right, and we farm the Void token, we can even like use a 50-50 split, like where the DAO will hold on to 50% of the Void tokens because we want a seat on the council, or we want a seat in the governance forums. But then we can drop the 50% through the staking module. We have that avenue. We can start utilizing that avenue quite a lot now.
I think what Void did, I think, was brilliant. Just giving that 1% to share out. And it would be interesting to see if other projects do the same thing.
Did you see the cost benefit that some person put out in a tweet for like staking your Luna and getting the Void airdrop versus buying a punk and getting the Void airdrop?
No.
Oh, it put a smile on my face. But from memory, I might get some of these numbers wrong, but the math was like per 100 Luna, you were going to get like 1.9 Void tokens. Right. Drop to you, whereas per one punk, which at the time was, let's go with 60 Luna, right? With 60 Luna per one punk, you were gonna get a drop of like 10 Void tokens per punk.
Per punk or per Luna in the punk?
Per punk. So 10, so that will basically mean you were going to get 13 to 14 void tokens per 100 Luna if you came, if you used your Luna to buy a Punk and then receive the void airdrop. But then you would also end up with a Punk along the way. But if you were to just stake your Luna, you would only get like 1.9 void tokens
Per Luna or per 100 Luna?
per
Oh,
100
per
Luna.
100 Luna, right. Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. So
So it was like it was straight up like a six or something times more void tokens you would get per 100
and
Luna
the punk.
if you and the punk, which is like it was just the calculus of it,
Yeah.
right?
I
I think it was Hutch. I don't know. I can't remember the Twitter person
Okay.
who made it, that Twitter thread. It was interesting to read. I liked it. But shit like that, right? But that doesn't account. So see, this is like the market hasn't priced in the Luna, or sorry, the Luart and Messier airdrops as well, right? Those vesting schedules, those are really cheap tokens that we got that are going to be pushed out at market prices, right? So like it's an incredible value driver.
We're still early. We're still early. I must. I was suggesting to some friends to buy punks back in December, and I did get. I mean, I got a
Right.
few, like a few more. I've got seven punks, so I'm definitely not a punk whale. But
You're a big boy punk now.
just yeah, rereading this tweet, I was like suggesting go and buy punks, and they were like the floor was at
Yeah.
like 20-ish, just over 20. Had I
Okay.
been taking my own
Yeah.
advice, I would have been
Yeah.
buying loads more. But it's always interesting in hindsight.
Yeah.
But I still I'm quite excited to just imagine where punks will be at the end of the year. I mean,
Yeah, right. I wonder, like, you're gonna be like, yo, there was a time when you could buy a punk for less than $1,000. Right?
less than how much? 10,000.
That, yeah, something like that,
Yeah,
right?
well, yeah. So I mean, they're about what, 6,000 at the moment. The weird thing was, I remember, but I think I bought one at the end of October for a like so 80-ish. I was desperate for one in an Apollo spacesuit, and that was like one of the
Yeah.
cheapest ones. I think that was around about the time the Apollo team were buying them for themselves. I mean, the Apollo team are showing so much
Oh.
respect to the punks.
That's right. That's right.
So I think, yeah, I mean, it'd be nice if we can have an allocation to buy some Apollo tokens, because the value of their, I mean, I still think Apollo, there's so many undervalued
That's
tokens
the
right
other
now.
thing too. You're right. It's like it's basically an ETF of like all the big boys in Terra ecosystem. So it makes absolutely good sense to just like dump a little bit of UST, be like, hey, Apollo, how about a little bit of a treasury swap?
Yeah. I mean, we can just dollar cost average into Apollo over time, and I mean their war chest. You just look at it and you just think, if you were obviously they are picking the tokens, but like there's nothing really that they don't have. Actually, Prism. I'm not 100% sure how much Prism they've got. I think they've probably got Prism as well, but they've got like
Right.
Astroport, Mars, Prism,
Well, right.
Luna.
And then keep in mind, like Apollo DAO was worth like 15 million in market cap like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
And their war chest was worth about the same. Like,
Yes. Right.
crazy.
Well, this is what I mean, like, or what you mean when you say we're early.
Exactly. And then we just saw like Apollo going crazy, but like, not Apollo, sorry, Astroport going crazy. Like the token price, but like Apollo DAO's got loads of Astroport. Or Astro token. So
And then Apollo itself is going to do VE tokenomics, which is going to do a big supply shock.
yeah. So I think there's obviously it's not financial advice, but I'm certainly things that I bought recently. I bought some Mars and I've bought some Apollo. And I've got a little bit of Astro, but I haven't bought it because it's had such a massive run.
Right. I was waiting for a bigger dip in Mars. It just never came. So I was like, you know what? It got away from me. So I just put a little bit of money into it.
But
that was a misplay from me, Mars, for sure.
Yeah. Well, we don't know yet, but and Prism as well. I'm loving Prism. We're kind of getting off. I would like to see the Galactic DAO going in heavy on Prism.
Right. Hey, Pappy, if you want to come up and chat, you're welcome to it. That's the nature of these. So I don't have any Y Luna, dude. I have Prism tokens. I've staked them, and I'm sitting on a lot of amps. I just don't know what to do with them.
Well, that's the thing. You can't unless you are. I think they were talking about having other utility for amps other than just the Prism farm. But I just think over time, like, people are going to sort of think, they might need some cash or whatever. So the value of the amps for the people that keep, like, getting their Prism rewards and then restaking them and pledging them for amps, it's going to become more powerful. And they've also been talking about, like, at the moment, I think 80% of the rewards just go to the Y Luna, to everyone in the Prism farm, and 20% go to the amps boosters. But they're talking about over time, the allocation that goes to the amps boosters is going to increase. So it's really going to reward the long-term stakers and pledgers, which I like.
Yeah, I'm amazed by all of these amazing incentives that come out to get people intertwined with the long-term future of whatever the protocol is.
Yeah, right? I think Prism governance is coming soon as well. They've now got a forum up.
Okay.
So therefore, that is why I think, especially for the Galactic DAO, because the Galactic DAO are like an approved validator for Prism. So
they are, yeah.
They get, I don't know how many approved validators there are, but they get a percentage. Say there's 10 approved validators, then 10% of the Prism that gets refracted, 10% of the Luna that gets refracted in Prism gets staked with the Galactic DAO. So us being, like, having a seat at the governance table of Prism that's important for the DAO.
Right. No, for sure. Because our validator is a source of income and we have, I think, 5% commission, right?
5%, yeah.
So whatever Luna Luna APY that's generated, we take a 5% cut as a DAO. So that's a big source of revenue.
Yeah. So for just so many reasons to say thank you to Prism for sort of putting us in that set, we should be investing to ensure that we stay in that set. Having governance rights in Prism is important for us. So just for so many different reasons. And the yield on Prism at the moment is epic.
Yeah, what is it, like 30 plus?
Oh yeah, I mean, as far as I'm aware, the team, because we got a lot of Prism tokens in Prism Forge, which I think was a smart move.
Right.
They have been amping since amping started. So we've got tons of amps. Mm. So all we now need to do is, once the Finance Nebula has the authority to do so, slam in like 1,000 or 2,000 Luna to Prism, refract it, and then we'll start getting some really good rewards. Our APR, including the amps boost, I reckon will be around about 50%.
Yeah, the only thing is, like, if we do the split, right, I would very much urge that we don't sell the
absolutely at not. All. Yeah, 100%.
We should be able to do the same process in reverse and get our Luna right back. Right. There shouldn't be. Yeah, like, I don't want it. Shouldn't open up to price exposure in one way or the other.
I'm with you 100%. Yeah, I mean, that's my whole, and it seems that everyone in the Finance Nebula is that way inclined. No one seems to be wanting to degen with DAO funds, which I think is very important.
And it's like, we don't need to either. There is plenty of high APY without being degenerate.
Exactly.
Well, like Prism Finances, Prism is a very prime example of
this. Yeah, 100%. I think just sensible investing, like sort of Warren Buffett style in crypto is just I mean, well, I mean, okay, you could say crypto and it is risky, but yeah, we're talking about coming out of the DGM box thing. I think almost right. just lessen, but less is more in a sense. Just allocate more of our assets into like some three or four, I was going to say bets, but they're not really bets. It's just three or four quality blue chip protocols and just really start reaping the rewards.
Right. I think like the approach we ought to have is like establishing a network, if you will, right? Like, for example, Prism and our validator, that's a back and forth. That's a net neutral, if you will, right? Like we do a thing for them, they do a thing for us, right? So these sort of networks and intertwined connections, I think that's kind of the approach we ought to be taking.
You say they do something for us and we do something for them, but I think we both benefit from, and there's a whole thing and this is something I didn't pick up from the Galactic Punk Discord, but there's, when Prism was launching, there was all this talk of there was going to be some Prism NFTs. And apparently...
Oh, I wasn't tracking
that. Yeah, so the Prism NFTs, the Punks team, I believe, designed these for them. And they will soon be available to purchase for like a very minimal fee using P Luna, which is kind of cool because it gives a bit more utility to P Luna.
P Luna, yeah. For sure. Yeah. Well, so what's your take on that P Luna Y Luna pairing? Because I figured Y Luna would be like fractions of the price of P Luna, right? And I understand the market is skewed a little bit because there's the boosted APY on Y Luna, but at the still, it's like your whole Prism token is still there. All your Y Luna represents is the future year.
Yeah.
Right.
So just exactly what you said. I don't think we should do anything degen with. I mean, if we refract Luna, then 100% we just keep the P Luna. We just keep the Y Luna. Obviously we'll put the Y Luna into the Prism farm, but then literally just hold that P Luna. Don't put it in an LP. Don't do anything with it. Just hold it. If there comes a time when it can be used as collateral somewhere. And we can put it into, say, Mars and earn 5%, then that's fine.
Right.
That's just, we'll take an extra 5%. We really don't need to, I'm not keen for the DAO to sort of, we can use it as collateral, brilliant, start borrowing. I'm not in favor of that at all. Just like you said, I mean, you don't exactly. like to borrow in your personal portfolio, is that fair to say? I don't think we should be doing. I mean, even though we could somehow eke out some more APR or APY, there's no need.
Yeah. Like the only kind of borrowing we could be doing is like through Kinetic, because that makes sense because there's no price exposure, and there's no what is it called? Like you're not opening up to anything beyond just the contract risk.
That seems reasonable. Yes.
Yeah, because there is no liquidations or anything that you ought to be worried about with that kind of borrowing.
Exactly. And then potentially it can be a better than anchor rate of interest, because with the phaser, your loan can get paid down quicker.
Yeah. I'm kind of, this has been in the back of my mind the whole time now, kind of want to make a spreadsheet that does a valuation, right, of like future earnings of punks. Like the stake to punks rewards at certain prices of those tokens. You know what I'm saying? Because like I think we got both of the Luart and Messier art, we paid like 2 cents per token on them, right?
I'll be honest, I'm not 100% sure, but it was a sort of early round investment, yeah.
Yeah, it was either 2 or 20 cents. It was something like that. I want to say 2 cents for both of them. So I wonder if we can... If you want to work on this, I don't know. I kind of enjoy spreadsheets, but I think this is a project that I'm going to start in the background. Is like, what is the APY value at the end of the year versus just holding Luna or versus like other yields?
Good point. Right? I mean,
just to make it some sort of a comparable.
I mean, they always did say that staking punks isn't about a super high APY.
And that's not where I'm going with it. It's not about like comparing percentages for percentage. What I'm saying is, it's so like in a stock, for example, right? In the stock market, if you were to buy like your electrical utility company, right? They will pay out a certain percentage as a yield, right? And usually it'll be somewhere between 1-something% to like 3 or 4%, right? But what it is you have your utility company stock, then you're earning a 3% yield on it, right? So if Punks is to be a blue chip, then essentially that's what you kind of compare it to in your traditional world, right? So then you can apply the same evaluation mechanism, right? Like, so if Punks is paying out a yield of like more than 20% of whatever your purchasing in prices, right? That means that at the end of 4 years, if Punk price remains the same, you've paid it off with just your yield, right? Or DCA into a new Punk or whatever, right? But the point is that it's not there so that we attract degenerates to buy Punks and then like farm and dump the yield. It's more there so that you can say, hey, if you're able to earn this much for just holding it, then it's like the equivalent of forward price to earnings ratio, if that makes sense, right? Like, how long is it for these earnings to pay off your investment?
And you were suggesting it would take 4 years.
Well, at 20% compounding is basically 4 years to double your money, right?
Okay. Wow. If it's 20%, that would be sensational. But
this is like back, like just in my mind math, but essentially 20% compounded, you double your money in 4 years.
Yeah, that's true. Wow. Just going to have a little look at the old Luna prices. Oof.
Right. So that's kind of how I was looking at it too, right? And then it could even be beneficial to say, hey, the Punks are earning, let's say, 10 Luna every day from trading fees. I actually don't know what the number is, right? So let's say whatever the fees are, we put them into a pool that's set to deplete whatever percentage rate it needs to push out at one year's time, right?
Start again. So I didn't catch that.
Okay. So let's say every day we earn 5 Luna from our trading fees, our royalties, right?
I think it's I think it's then, like way more than that.
We're just keeping simple numbers, okay. Right? And then you put them into a pool, right? And then you can make some sort of a calculation to have a steady buffered APY coming out of that. So like half of your royalties go back to the Punk owners and half of the royalties go to the DAO, let's say, right? So the half that goes back to the Punk owners can be put into a pool, which is paid out as a 1 year return on your Punk, right? That is a direct tie-in to like how you can use your APY to justify some XYZ as your floor price.
Interesting. So you'd say there would be a once a year payout.
No. You can have it continuous, right? You just take, so for example, like let's say we've been doing this for 3 months, right? What would happen is you keep dumping money, like your, so if we had 10 Luna coming in every day, 5 Luna would get put into this pool for APY to the holders, right? Let's say. Then you keep putting money into that pool, and whatever the sum total of the pool is, let's calculate that daily or weekly or whatever, right? So on a weekly basis, right? Whatever the total number is in that pool, you would multiply that, divide that by 52, and then that would be the payment you would make every week. So what that does is it lets you build your pool up over the first few years, and then you can make a more higher APY. But essentially, as you put more money into the pool, the more higher number you're dividing by the 52, that means more payments will come to you, the Punk holder, in the longer time. Does that make sense? Like the bigger the pool is, the higher the APY essentially is what that
means. That makes sense. Okay, so like say we've not even been talking about this in the Finance Nebula, but I kind of like it. So say we were, okay, say there was like the amount that was going into the staking or the Punk staking rewards was 5 Luna a day, like you're saying.
Right.
And that started today.
Right.
And payments to punk stakers go out on a Sunday. So you're saying, so basically if that happened, if we started today, we'd have 10 Luna in there tomorrow. You're saying don't pay any of that out. Or are you saying?
No. So you would take 10 divided by 52, then divide it by 100 or 1,900, whatever punks, right? So each punk would get whatever that small number is, right? But then you keep putting 10 in every day, you'll have 30,000 at the end, 300,000 at the end of your year, right? Luna. Then you take your 300,000 Luna every week, you divide your 300,000, divided by 52, then divide it by 1,900, right? And then that number becomes your drop for that Sunday. But
where's the 1,900?
At one point, that's the number of punks we have. Sorry, 10,900. I didn't mean to say one.
Right. Would it not just get divided by the ones that are being staked?
Right. So in this case, it'd be 7,000. Yeah.
Yeah. We could, I definitely think that would be an interesting.
So we can totally put together a spreadsheet and model it out.
Yeah.
And then you can just be like, what kind of Luna intake we need to sustain a certain percentage of APY and so on and so forth.
I'm just seeing we've got Dan there as well. Chilling.
Yeah.
If you want to come up, Dan.
You're welcome to come on up and have a chat if you want, for sure. We welcome you to.
I'm still confused about what you're actually proposing. There's a lot of dividing and timesing, right? So there's.
It's essentially a very stabilized rate of. So, like, your royalties come in and out at very peaks and troughs, right? So, like, there's high volume days and low volume days, right? What we're doing is we're saying the all of that return basically gets pushed and spread around throughout the year so that you get a very stable-ish APY throughout the...
Right, so let me see if I'm understanding this correctly. So you're definitely not saying every Sunday you just work out, you look at how much Luna is in the pot and divide it by the punks that are being staked.
Well, you could, but the way we're dividing it is that over time, that pot of Luna is going to keep growing because we're going to be paying out somewhat below the depletion rate.
Okay. Maybe you need to write this down for me because I don't know if I'm getting it.
I'll make a whole spreadsheet for you and you'll kind of understand what I'm saying. And then we'll put it in the Finance Nebula. And see what other people think about it. But essentially, all it would be is like the idea is essentially, let's say, it's like this year we're projected to make 100,000 Luna off of our sales, right? Our royalties off of our sales, second market sales, right? Then what that means is that 100,000 will essentially get divided into 52. And then that divided into 7,000 punks, and then that'll be your payout, but gradually over the year.
Okay. 100,000 seems...
In a very, very simple way. But yeah, well, I'm just throwing even numbers,
right.
But like in a very simple way, that's kind of how that would play out.
Interesting. Right. Anyway, you got anything else you want to bring up?
I mean, I'm cool with going on more about punks, but I was looking at Pylon. They've got a lot of stuff going on.
I haven't looked at
it. And even Nexus Mutual has got a lot of stuff going on.
Nexus Mutual, not Nexus. Wow.
Nexus Protocol. Sorry.
Have they opened up some new vaults?
They are putting together, a lot of governance proposals for their new vaults.
Okay.
They've got. Here, let me open up their governance page. They have like five proposals up right now. And almost all of them have hit that threshold with a majority yes.
Okay.
So, yeah. Well, I'll go with Pylon. Pylon's got some interesting ones. So Rango Exchange has put together a proposal to open up like the USP redirection pool, the launch pool that they do.
Right.
Right. So Rango is an aggregator in a sense, but like not from like DEXs, but from chains. So if you need to move your money from one chain to another chain, you basically go to Rango and you say, on chain A, I want token X, and then my end destination is chain B, and I want token Y. So it will then connect all of your wallets, like your MetaMask, your Kepler, your Terra Station wallet. It'll connect all of those together. Mm-hmm. And then it'll start a process of these transfers and exchanges from one chain to another chain to another chain until eventually you end up where you want to be. So like one transaction I made was like from Polygon network all the way to Osmosis, right? So it took me from Polygon to Binance Smart Chain to Terra, then to Osmosis, right? But all of that was done automatically behind the scenes. Mm. And every step along the way, my MetaMask wallet popped up and says, you need to approve a transaction to swap token X to token Y. Then my MetaMask popped up again and says, you need to approve a transaction to push these tokens to Binance Smart Chain. Then my MetaMask popped up again. Hey, you need to approve this transaction to push these tokens to the Wormhole Bridge. Then my Terra Station wallet popped up. It's like, hey, you've received tokens. These tokens need to go to through the IBC channel onto the Osmosis chain. I was like, oh, sweet, cool, approve that. And then my Kepler wallet pops up and says, hey, we've received some tokens. We need to swap these to the end token that you want to be in. I was like, oh, sweet, confirm that swap. And I just had to hit the accept button along the way. But Rango took care of all of the routing from all of those chains and all of the DEXs along the way.
So this is live now, is it?
Yeah, their beta is up. I was using the shit out of their beta. It's so good. But they're doing a token launch. So they're going to do three pools and like the usual 6, 12, and 18-month pool.
That's interesting. I mean, initially when you were telling me about this, I thought, why not just get XDeFi and do it that way? But
right, but then XDeFi doesn't connect you all of those chains, right? Whereas Rango will connect all of Cosmos, all of Ethereum chains, and everything along the way.
That's cool. I mean, I've still got stuff in Polygon that I've not looked at. I'm just thinking, do I even remember how to log on?
Right.
I've just got stuff sitting there.
Okay. Well, so Void is doing the same thing, but Void hasn't put up a vote yet. They're still in the discussion phase on their forums. So Void is also wanting to launch three pools, the 6, 12, and 18-month one. And then
on Pilot.
Yes. And then my boys from Intern NFT, they're going to launch a lottery pool as well for their for UST deposits to get you a raffle ticket to get the chance to win an NFT, an Intern NFT. So there will be those ones too. And they're splitting it a very, very normal standard way where half of the NFTs will be raffled off to the mine token stakers and half of the NFTs will be raffled off to the UST depositors, exactly the way we did it with the punks when we put our NFTs up there.
Okay, cool.
Just different numbers of NFTs that we'll be giving them. And then
so wait, punks were on Pylon. So what happened there?
So punks, I don't know the exact number of punks, but we sent a bunch of punks over into the Pylon protocol contract. And then people would stake or deposit UST into that, and per 10 UST you would get one ticket. And every week I think there's been a draw of a punk, and then every week you had a chance to win a punk. In return, the UST you had deposited, the yield of it came to our DAO, our treasury.
Wow, because I've not seen that on the spreadsheet. But so we were just getting yield on quite a lot of money that was, say it was $1 million. I don't know what was in there, but say it was $1 million. That's quite nice.
Yeah, so we were getting 20%. Well, so we were getting roughly like 17% so far off of it, because a quarter of it is taken from the top towards Pylon.
Oh, that's nice. Right, okay. I'm going to follow that with the DAO and just find, because I mean, we do have a lot of UST in the DAO, but didn't realize.
So that's approaching kind of towards the end. We've like auctioned off, or we've raffled off a bunch of the punks already.
Right.
What else we got? Terra Nato Cash, the competitor to Void, they're doing an airdrop for mine stakers as well. They're requesting and like how to proceed from the mine community and the developer team. Mm. So that's a lot going on for Pylon Protocol.
Yeah, for sure. I've not been on for ages because we were getting, what was it, Valkyrie, Nexus, and mine just for having our mine staked.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah, I'll need to have a little look, see what my options are.
Right, right. And then even Nexus, if you're ready for this one, the big one. They're starting a auto compounder pool. So kind of like how Spectrum Protocol does auto compounds or even Apollo, but this one they're doing auto compounds for the N assets. So like you just one-sided Luna or one-sided Ethereum can get compounded into more Luna or more Ethereum right there on the protocol instead of you having to go onto Spectrum Protocol and use their vaults. So they can bring all of that in-house. And then they're looking at BATOM as well to support BATOM.
Have you seen BATOM on Anchor today?
I think it's launched today, right?
Yeah, I saw a tweet and I was like, wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'm actually just having a little look on Pylon just now. So Pylon stakers we get Glow.
Mm-hmm.
And Valkyrie.
Should get some Anchor too, I think, right?
Nexus and Terra World. No Anchor.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, Terra World seems to be worth a little bit.
They're doing land auctions right now, so they're slowly but surely coming along. Their land auctions are basically selling in the first handful of minutes. They're all sold out. So there is demand, that's for sure.
Cool. But I mean, that's nice to have. I mean, even though you can like Pylon price is down in the dumps, you're still earning yield on it, so that's quite nice.
Yeah, that's right. And then they're redirecting their airdrops. They're pulling back their airdrops to, I think it was Anchor, they're pushing them to, or somebody. And then now they're going to bring them back into the treasury, and then they're going to figure. I think there was a proposal up that I'm forgetting to already, that was already discussing where to redirect those airdrops to. So that's being voted in. And then they got two more. They've got ETH Nexus proposal up, which I gotta look it up again. There's so much to track here, you know.
Mm. Where are the proposals?
Oh, to move the next. This is a good one actually. I remember it now. So you know how in Anchor you can go right to the Ethereum chain and then deposit Ethereum and then get Anchor Borrow, right? It's a similar setup, but with ETH through the Nexus protocol. So you can just deposit your ETH and then they'll do the whole yield farming strategy right from the Ethereum main layer.
These pools you're talking about are on Nexus, because the only one I can see on Pylon is the Rango exchange one.
Yeah. So this is the Nexus protocol that I'm talking about now.
Right.
Yeah. The N asset pools are all on Nexus.
Right. Got you.
Yeah. And then, they're doing protocol owned liquidity. So they're going to start issuing. Oh, this is where it was. The redirecting of airdrops was going to get redirected into the bond issuance. So they're trying to buy LP tokens using the PSI token. So you can come in now. It's very similar to the way Olympus. Olympus was with their Ohm token, remember?
I'll be honest, I didn't use that. I didn't fully know exactly how it worked.
They're kind of taking that, but like applying it in a slightly less aggressive fashion. So essentially, they're gonna distribute a set number of Psi tokens into people who want to come in and lock up LP tokens of like Psi Luna, Psi ETH, and then like Psi UST, I think are the three pools. Don't quote me on that part. So essentially you come in and you deposit your LP, and then whatever the dollar value of that LP token is, then you'll receive slightly more dollar value of the PSI token. And then that's basically a swap. So the LP token then goes to the treasury of Nexus protocol, and you in return receive the Psi token at slightly more profit than what your LP value was.
Okay.
And there's a little bit of a lock on the Psi token when you receive it. So you can't just dump it on the market right away. I think there's it's somewhere within the realm of a month. It's somewhere in the realm of 1 month, I think. Yeah. So there's a that's all the stuff that's going on in the Nexus protocol too. I think Edwin and I are probably going to record videos on these over the weekend and push them out in a more coherent way.
Wow, yeah, because I did see you on his channel. That was cool.
Yeah, so essentially what it is like, I don't want to play my own book here, but like, since I do all the reading anyway, and he's pretty good at like doing the editing part, so I just we do like a sort of a chat, but like really condensed version. So I'll just show up there and we'll record of a conversation between us, essentially, of me explaining to him what the new things are on the governance front. And then he asks a couple of questions, and then basically we do a quick rundown of like the summary of all the proposals that are going on at the time.
Awesome. Yeah, no, it was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, you got feedback?
No, I mean, I saw it and I was like, oh, that's okay. Cool.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, if you feel like, you know, we should explain certain things more, or some things are just redundant to explain, for sure. Because we're trying to get it, definitely keep it under 15-minute mark, for sure. Because the intent is to, like, in passing, you come across this video, you're like, oh, okay, I wonder what's going on with Luna these days in the forums, right? And it's just, oh, okay, these are the things I need to be paying attention to. These are the big things. Cool. And then it's like a, you know, a summary of the happenings.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's nice to have different sort of lengths, different formats and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like here, we kind of like do more of a chat and a more drawn out conversation.
I don't know if this necessarily needed to be a space. We've got, it's just you, me and Finn.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we can do it the other way too, if you want. Okay. Like recordings and stuff like that.
I mean, this is easy just to jump on and just...
I do like that. I'd like the lack of production. But I mean, to be fair, we're just pushing it off to Finn. It's all the same at the end of the day.
Well, someone does the work. So thank you, Finn, for doing the work for us. I mean, yeah. Right. Anything else before we jump off then?
No, this is all from my end.
Cool.
Go vote, I guess, on Pylon and on Nexus.
I just saw that one. The Pylon one finishes on Monday. So yeah, that definitely needs voted on.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Good chat. And hopefully by next week, there will be some mega update from, we should have some stuff, some proposals to vote on, or at least a proposal to vote on the Galactic DAO.
Right. For sure. All right. So, yeah, well, I'll see you next Saturday.
Stay in touch.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Interactive Punk, hosted by Rebel DeFi and Tau, recorded on Saturday, April 9th, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Luart. Luart is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. Luart provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by Intern Capital. Everyone knows interns make the world go round, so when it comes to picking out your interns, make sure you choose the best. The best, you say? That's right, the best. And everyone knows all the best interns come from Intern Capital. Be sure to follow Intern Capital on Twitter and keep an eye out April 14th for the Intern FT Mint launching on One Planet. Links are in the show notes. And for more information, check out intern.capital. Be sure to follow Intern Capital on Twitter for daily ship posts and stock tips. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening.
When I'm cruising, I'm rushing, no booze on my tongue. When I'm losing my cool like a bruiser in London, the rules are confusing. losing, so let loose the juices and try not to act like they tightened up the noose. These fools are abused like a problem stepchild, ruling the coop with some modest exile. I'm lost in the cube with the softest textiles, a comfy padded room where I'm walking my best smiles. So wipe the smirk off your face when you're serving. I'm up with a platter of bait behind the curtain, up with the curse, it's absurd to swerve it, letting these nerds know the wait was worth it. I'll perk it up while I stir in some bullshit. This ain't my first rodeo surrounded by humans. Opinionated merchants trying to steal your worth. It's getting on my nerves, so let's make them feel nervous. I go tit for tat when I'm spitting this rap shit. Getting sick with it like I'm kissing bats. It's spreading sickness like a fucking pandemic. Gun to my head like write the damn epic. My mood is exhumed from the darkest mistakes. Sitting down in hell cooking up these mixtapes. Living through nightmares and dreamscapes. It takes more patience than a hospital police state. So lock it down, locked and loaded like they come for your guns. Fuck no, we won't be getting onto that bus. Quietly sit back and watch the riot beat while the cops get filmed pirating all your privacy. Sign on the dotted line and wave your rights and wave goodbye and pay no mind. You gotta wash the brain and erase the time. Now shut the fuck up while we wait in line.
Terror Spaces.